Diana Krall live in Paris.
Yes, dude. I listened to this album so much. And the video, too. Yeah, I remember.
I would watch this video before my recitals, yeah. So, and I'd imagine I'm Anthony Wilson.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Pickup Music Pod, where we share tips to improve your guitar playing. If you're new around here, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. I'm Sam Blakelock, co-founder at Pickup Music, and I'm joined, as always, by Carl Kerfoot.
What's up, everybody? Great to be here, Sam.
So today is the jazz episode, and to start us off, we all know that learning guitar can be hard, and we've probably heard about this style of music called jazz. So learning guitar is hard enough, but learning jazz on guitar can feel like a big hurdle for a lot of guitarists. So in this episode, we'll walk you through what jazz has to offer you as someone who might be interested in learning it, and also tips on how to get started learning jazz. And this is coming from two people here who have been through college, spent all the money on tuition, and had countless one-on-one lessons and combos, and have hopefully put some kind of fast ways to get started with jazz without the pain of going to college. Although you may still want to do that by the end of this episode.
Very well said. Yeah, it's been quite a journey with jazz. My relationship with jazz has changed and evolved over the years, as I'm sure it has with you, Sam.
Yeah, well, it'll be good to get into the pros and cons of our experience with jazz in a second, because it's definitely been a journey for me.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's get into the why and why not you should learn jazz. First of all, positives. It's always good to start on a positive note. So Carl, why should a guitarist or a musician learn jazz?
Yeah, I think there's three big ones for me. Improv, meaning your ability to improvise. There's also the harmony aspect, all those lush jazz chords that we know and love. And the history and culture aspect of jazz, which I can explain a little bit more later, but I think that one's really important too. So first, improv. When we say jamming nowadays, it's kind of like the modern day jazz, really. You know, it doesn't matter what style of music. If you're jamming, there's going to be some element of improvisation there, right? And that skill, it really is a skill that I think people need to work on. It's something you can actually practice, this concept of improvisation. It's different than soloing, because like when you're soloing, you're just learning a solo note for note. You're not coming up with it. But that's also to say that, you know, people think that improv is that it's coming out of thin air. It's most of the time, as you know, it's not. And that's in all different styles. There's a language to country soloing, even though they still might be improvising, right?
Even in comedy, you know, you go to an improv show, that's some pre-prepared material improvised in the moment, perhaps.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's a lot of practical applications for being a good improviser in the modern day sense of being a, you know, not even a professional musician, but just somebody that's out playing gigs or playing with your friends. The need to come up with parts kind of on the spot, whether that's like in a rehearsal or on the actual stage, or maybe you're in like a recording session, you need to be able to improvise or you know, be able to play something in a different position or, you know, have a different approach to the sound or the harmony, whatever it might be. It's kind of flexing that improv muscle. So then the second reason that I mentioned is harmony. And, you know, that's just kind of understanding how chords work and specifically extensions. So with jazz harmony, like what makes things sound jazzy are the extensions of chords, right? So anything that's above a seventh. So you have the root, third, fifth, the seventh of a chord, and then the ninth, the 11th, the 13th. And we talk about this in the, many pathways, but in the most recent one, the late intermediate pathway, we have a handy dandy chord kit that we just put out that really shows all of this. And I think hopefully a helpful way for people. So we have a lot of cool stuff there to check out some harmony jazz chords. And then the final reason for me, Sam, and I'm curious about your thoughts on this, as a non-American, well, I mean, you're American now, I would say pretty much, but is like the history and culture aspect, because I taught a history of rock, pop, and soul class at Los Angeles City College for a while. And I learned so much myself, you know, in the act of teaching it, about how the thread between all these different styles of American music are connected and how they all go back to, you know, really blues and jazz. And probably even more so blues for the kind of music like pop and rock today. But it is so connected. All of your great influences from, you know, the modern day gods of like Mateus Asatu or whatever, they have this lineage. If you saw like a family tree below them, you know, or growing out of them, you could see how he was influenced by John Mayer, who was influenced by Hendrix, who was influenced by blues players. And, you know, so it just goes back and back. And so as you're studying jazz, it's sort of like going to the source of and having better context of the great players that you know and love today.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think 2 points I'll pick up on there on why jazz is such an awesome style to explore is I think for me, chords is the biggest one. And this is really great for a guitarist who don't necessarily want to be a jazz cat or improvise, but you can pick up a few tasty sounding chords, whether it's a minor 9 voicing or a minor 11 voicing, or maybe it's a combo of chords, a little 2-5-1 sequence of chords. These are things that many of our favorite artists who we wouldn't otherwise think of as jazz musicians will use in their playing, whether that's Stevie Wonder or Beyonce or country musicians. There's so much you can take away from the harmonic structures in jazz. And that relates to your point on the history of music and Black American music and American music, is that that thread of harmony and chords and understanding music is really interesting to explore. And then the second one there, like you said, improvisation. A lot of people would say, if it doesn't have improvisation, it's not jazz. We can maybe have a chat about that, about some music which isn't improvised, but it is really the core of music is improvisation. And even if it's composing a solo, I've heard composition like composing a solo as slow improvisation. And,
yeah.
And that's actually a great way to learn how to solo is do it slowly, like take 3 hours to craft the perfect solo and then perform that solo. And then the next solo you perform is going to be very thoughtful because you've really slowed yourself down.
Absolutely.
But I get sidetracked. So a couple of reasons why you shouldn't learn jazz, and we'll frame these in a way on just things to be aware of. I think not everyone has the time or willingness to go as deep as we did. So this is mostly if you dedicate 3+ years of your life, you might hit a few of these issues. And the first one is that jazz can be sometimes quite academic. And this is because it's taught in an academic way. You can get a degree in jazz. Unlike other styles of music like rock and country, yes, you can get a degree in more modern styles of music, but jazz is a very intellectual or can be a very intellectual style of music to learn. And sometimes that takes the fun out of it. A great program or a great teacher will always, of course, make it fun and use your ear, but there's going to be exams, there's going to be ear training exams, there's going to be learning how to play piano. I'm sure you yeah. did a bit of that, Carl. That's painful for any guitarist. That may be a good thing though, because it's structure. So you can go to college, there's a great program, great faculty, or learn online, and there's a strong tradition of education in jazz. Not quite as much as in classical music, which has been around for much longer, but more of a structure and more of an educational lineage than more modern styles of music, whether that's metal or prog or so on. And then secondly, jazz can be hard to learn. So music should be fun. Music should be easy. We want everyone to enjoy music, but sometimes the process of learning jazz requires a little more thought, a little more practice, a little more focus. So that may not be your thing. And that's fine.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of that, Sam. I'll just kind of play devil's advocate and say, I wouldn't say there's a downside to learning jazz. I think it's more, sometimes people put a lot of emphasis on the wrong topics within jazz. So for example, in jazz school, if you are super serious about it, I remember just being forced to learn like hundreds of standards and never to play them again, you know, like so many hours. But the question is, did that somehow seep into my musical DNA and therefore maybe it was all worthwhile? It's hard to nail that down, you know? I think it's definitely debatable. Long story short, I think that you want to focus on the right things within jazz and then it's all going to be helpful.
Yep, totally fair point. All right, let's get into the bulk of this episode, which is how to learn jazz. So imagine this scenario. You're on stage, you're sitting, maybe standing with your guitar. On your right side is a bass player with an upright bass or an electric bass. And behind you, there's a drummer. And there's a fourth person in the band. It's a piano player. So this is a typical jazz combo. And it's important to think about the live setting because music, jazz music is mostly performed live and recorded live, although not necessarily these days. So there's three roles that you take in this scenario. Only three. You're either A, you're playing the melody to the song, B, you're comping, which is called playing chords, or C, you're soloing or improvising. So as a jazz musician, you're always doing one of these three things. And often the way a song will work will be at the start, there might be a little intro, then you'll play the melody or the head to the song. So you have to know the melody. There'll be some comping. You might comp under the drummer or the bass player or the piano player, or for yourself. You might be comping while you play the melody. So you can do two of these at the same time. And then that third aspect, which is improvisation. Now, if it's on the New Orleans side of jazz, maybe it's co-improvisation with other people. Maybe you're improvising with the bass player, or maybe it's your turn to shine and you're ripping a sick solo. And then maybe this is a pre-composed solo. So there's a lot of great jazz-influenced music where the guitarist will compose the solo beforehand, and that's totally viable as well. Now, this is good to know, but what are the actual skills, Carl, that guitarists need to practice in order to fulfill these roles of play the melody, comp, and solo?
Well, first of all, I really like that idea of the three roles because it simplifies what you're supposed to be doing. And anytime that you can, for me, anytime that you can simplify what you're supposed to be doing, it helps you get there faster. So yeah, that's a great way to think about it. Now, okay, so what are the skills that are going to help you fulfill those roles? Well, I would say you got to know the song, which means, you know, you got to know the chords to the song. You need to know the melody. You need to know the form. And then there's some other things like maybe the cultural and historical context maybe and some aspects of the style. And, you know, I think the biggest thing here is, have you listened to any jazz? You know, I think that's, before you get into even guitar skills, it's such an aural thing and again, sort of a cultural thing that you have to absorb it in order to kind of have a chance at sounding like you can play it, which kind of leads me to the next point of speaking the vocabulary. So that's, you know, rhythmic things, like cliches, typical feels, how much swing is typical on like a super up-tempo thing or old school blues kind of thing, like knowing the difference between those swing feels, you know, and there's like melodic things and learning licks, of course, right? Are there any other skills that come to mind for you, Sam?
I think those two are pretty up there in terms of priorities. Like it's all about the repertoire. When you're playing jazz, it's always or most often over a piece of music. It could be someone else's. It could be your interpretation of that. And the way jazz used to work back in the day would be jazz musicians would take popular songs of the time, like the Tin Pan Alley era, and add heaps more changes and make it bebop or make it jazz in their own way. And you see that a lot in jazz musicians or musicians in general these days, whether it's taking a Radiohead song and making it jazz or I've seen examples of like country songs and rock songs. So There is that lineage of jazz repertoire, the real book, which you'll start to get familiar with, but it also can apply to modern songs as well. So that's a lot of information. So let's say, Carl, you're a jazz guitar teacher and I'm a jazz noob. I'm an intermediate guitarist, so I got my minor pentatonic down, got my bar chords. I can solo over a rock or a funk vamp maybe, but I'm interested in learning jazz. What would be the first thing you would tell me in a one-on-one lesson?
Go listen to a Wes Montgomery record. Yeah, besides that, I think it would be maybe a good example to just take like one chord, for example. Let's say we're in the key of C and we've got our... Okay, well, that doesn't sound very jazzy, right? All right, well, first of all, let's take just the harmony aspect. Let's take that C chord and make it a C major 7 chord. Okay, already it's sounding more jazzy. And now let's add some swing and syncopation to the chord. Okay, cool. It's sounding and feeling, well, now it's feeling a little more jazzy. Okay, so we've got like the rhythm side of jazz happening a little bit here. All right, well, now let's take the C major scale and say the C major 7 arpeggio. Okay. Now, let's apply that same rhythmic aspect to it, where we'll add some swing feel, add some syncopation to it. Okay, it's starting to feel a little bit there. Let's add some syncopation. Let's add some blues. Let's add some chromaticism. Let's say something like...
Wow, it sounds like Wes Montgomery just entered the room. It's as easy as that, right? I went from C to G to playing jazz. And, you know, maybe it is as simple as this. Maybe jazz isn't so hard all along. How many types of chords are there? Major, minor, dominant, and then, you know, other ones, minor 7 flat 5 diminished. But if we took that same process that you did just then, you know, how long realistically, Kyle, do you think it would take for me as an intermediate guitarist to kind of get a grips and start improvising over chords in a jazz way?
Well, I would say a couple of months, maybe, you know, a few months. Again, the listening aspect comes into play big time. If you're listening to jazz at the same time, like for pleasure and not just for homework or, you know, just because someone told you to, then, you know, you're going to be sounding more like a jazz player. And so, you know, I think it's just like any other style. You have to find someone that inspires you to want to play like that and really listen to it. And then if you have something like, you know, say the jazz learning pathway at Pickup, or, you know, some kind of like kind of structured way to actually learn it from people that have kind of thought through how to do it, I think it'll be even easier.
Yeah, maybe we could touch on the listening part, because that's always an approach which is emphasized, which is how do you get better at jazz? Listen a lot, even the same song 10 times on repeat. Mm. Be able to sing that song, the melody, the solo, and then learn the song by ear. And that's kind of the approach of sit you down and this is the way we used to do it, and the way it was done before we had tabs and you know, Google and all that. But it is, I guess it's one of the slowest approaches to learn something, but it's the most impactful. Anytime I've sat down and taken the time to learn a solo, I've really soaked it in and really had to understand it and also see how that plays on my fretboard.
Yeah, well, I think there's two sides of the listening thing. Like what you're saying is sort of, yeah, like the transcribing thing. And I think also on top of that is just listening, like, you know, in the car, you know, just sort of absorbing, you know, the feel of it, the spirit, really, the spirit of it. It's funny, like when I listen to people try to play jazz that are in music school and stuff, when I think back on it, you could tell the ones that were being forced to do it for their grade or whatever, and the ones that kind of had the jazz spirit. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're black, blue, or green or whatever. If you listen and you have the spirit in you, then, you know, you can sound like a jazz musician, I think. So
if you're interested in getting your listening going with jazz, here's a couple of albums to check out. First, often guitarists come from a blues background, so I often recommend guitarists to start out with the blues tinge side of jazz. And there's two great guitarists and two albums here I'd recommend. One is Kenny Burrell, Midnight Blue, and then Grant Green's Idle Moments. And I've transcribed a lot of these songs. It's just really easy to listen to. It's over common like forms that you'll be familiar with. Really great tone, impeccable feel. The band is super swinging on both these records, and a great place to start. And then two more modern things to check out. There's a Diana Krall Live in Paris. I used to have this on DVD. And it's with a guitarist called...
Yes, so, dude. I listened to this album so much. Oh my God. And the video too. Yeah, I remember.
I would watch this video before my recitals in my undergrad just to like get in the zone. I'd imagine I'm Anthony Wilson.
Yeah. Just swinging. Oh man, he sounded so good on that. Yeah. Everybody sounded good on that record. Yeah. It's a great choice, man.
And then the last one for someone more modern, for me at least, on the cutting edge of jazz is Cecil Alexander. Mm. He's got some great videos and songs and records out there, and a course on Pickup Music as well.
Yeah, love him too. Obviously, Joe Pass is a big one for me. The album Virtuoso, specifically, I think it's the first track, Night and Day, is just incredible. It's just a beautiful piece of music that he pretty much improvised a lot of those pieces, first or second take, I believe. And of course, Wes Montgomery, I always mention him. The incredible jazz guitar of Wes Montgomery is probably one of the greatest jazz guitar albums of all time. Some more modern players. This guy, he's a Dutch jazz guitarist named Jesse Van Ruler. It's spelled like Jesse Van Ruler. And then a awesome, amazing guitar player out of Chicago, Bobby Broom, and the Deep Blue Organ Trio. So those are two guys that are still, you know, very much alive and active and thriving in the jazz scene.
Cool. Yeah, some awesome music to check out. And we'll link to those in the show notes if you're interested in checking them out. So that's been our first jazz episode on the podcast. If you are interested in learning jazz guitar, check out the Jazz Learning Pathway on Pickup Music. It's a 4-month intensive program where you get daily lessons. You'll learn how to play jazz standards, how to improvise, expand your chordal vocabulary. It includes lessons from Cecil Alexander, who's on the faculty at Berklee College of Music and one of the world's leading improvisers and technical guitarists, really.
Yeah.
And a few lessons there from me as well to help you along the way. So that's the Jazz Learning Pathway and Pickup Music. We'll include that link in the show notes.
As always, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you and chatting. And thanks to everybody for listening. The last episode was really fun. If you missed it, it was with Savannah Wilder, a fantastic vocalist and vocal coach, giving you some tips on how to sing and play. We are back in 2 weeks. Right, Sam? We're doing this every 2 weeks now. Listeners can count on that, right?
Every 2 weeks, we'll be in your inbox on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Thank you.